Shmuel Beis, Shmuel Aleph, Perek Beis, Pasuk Aleph. Vegrevi made David Lamus. David's days are ending. Veitzav Shlomi Bnei Lamer. He's now giving his final words to Shlomi. Anoichi Holech B'derech Kol Aretz. I'm going in the way of everyone. Human beings have 100% mortality rate. He realizes he's not going to get out of this alive. V'chazakta V'isalish. It is time for you to be a man. Now, according to the Mefarshim, Shlomo was 12 years old. I think
12?
12, yes. He was 12 years old. 12 years old at this point.
I thought he was 8.
That's what I said last time.
Still pretty young. He was even younger than Bar Mitzvah. He didn't have his Bar Mitzvah yet.
No.
Right? He wouldn't have David HaMelech to put his Bar Mitzvah drasha together. Right? It's going to be tough. Not only that, but he's going to have to be king. Apparently, he was helping David HaMelech, both taking care of the matters of the kingdom, of the people, and learning Torah with him. But he's telling him now, meaning, you've been helping me, you've been my red-hat man for many years now, but now, it's all on you, right? And I'm not going to be there to help you anymore. So what's his final words? V'shamartes mishmeres Hashem alakech, l'leches b'tzrachav. You should guard the word of Hashem, right? And go in Hashem's paths. So you've got a whole laundry list of things that you have to go by, right? So laleches bidrachav is talking about the midos, the character traits of Hashem, just like the Gemara says, mahu rachum, avata rachum, just like Hashem is merciful, so too you should be merciful. That's talking about achoik, our mitzvahs that do not have any reason. Mitzvahs are the word of Hashem that does have a reason. Mishpatav is referring to ben adam l'chaveira, between a man and his fellow. And edosav is are things that testify on the fact that Hashem was the one who created the world. Like Shabbos and the Yontif. As it's mentioned in the Torah, Leman taskil eskol asher tase v'eskol asher tifnesha. Right, he's telling him you will have a few benefits out of following the word of Hashem. Right, taskil. So what's he saying? Leman taskil. Right, what's the difference between atzlocha, between someone with a matzliach, who's successful, and maskil? Right?
And what?
What's the difference?
Maskil. Like I said, the Laman Taskil. You should grow. You should get better. So, the Malbim Aver explains that Tatsliach, Hatzlacha, success, depends on Mazel. Depends on the luck of a person. If you have luck, right, then your investments will be successful. The stock dividends that you bought will grow. The stock shares that you bought will grow. The real estate that you bought will increase. Right? However, a skala, right, something which means more than success, that's dependent on the person himself, on the right means that a person chooses to take. And that is learned from the Torah itself.
Midas.
Yes. Now there are different types. There are different ways a person, different paths a person can choose. A person can choose the right tools that'll bring him to success. Right? You can read the book, you know, the 7 good habits of successful people. Right? And adopt those habits. However, there is right, and you obviously have to leave the habits that are not going to lead you to success. And then there's a maskil b'chol asher yifne, right? The bracha that David is giving Shlomo, l'man taskil eskol asher tase, Meaning, even if he chooses, by mistake, he chooses the means that will not lead him to success, because of his wisdom, he will be able to change them and switch them around to the path of success. And that's what he's telling him. Right? Meaning, everywhere you go, every path you choose, even if it happens to be the bad path, the wrong path, so to speak, that's not going to objectively lead you to success, but because you're going to be so wise, you will able to have that path lead you to success.
He gave him all the brachas that there are. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. Man yokim Hashem es tvora esher dibra alei lemar im yishmeru vanech es darkam lelech es tofani be'emes b'chol abavim b'chol nafsham lemar leikaras cha'ish me'al kisei Yisrael. Right? If you go ahead and you in fact fulfill the word of Hashem and you follow all of his paths like we spelled out, then Hashem will complete his bracha that he gave me, that my descendants as well will in fact take over their kingdom, they will become king. And they will lead the nation. Now, even though in general a person should not do what Hashem says in order to gain, in order to benefit, right? It says in Pirkei Avos, right? Not to do the word of Hashem al manas lekabel pras, in order to get a praise, in order to get a prize for it, right? So it sounds like over here that David is telling Shlomo, yeah. If you do this, then Hashem will reward you, and you should do it for the reward that you're going to get in the future. But it's not what he's telling him over here. He's telling him that Hashem wants my descendants to continue being king. He wants them to rule. If you go ahead and follow the path of Hashem, then the natural outcome would be that he's going to fulfill his bracha. Meaning Hashem wants to fulfill his bracha. Right? That is the will of Hashem. Now, by you going ahead and continuing my path, you are enabling Hashem to fulfill his promise, which is what he wants anyway. Right? And if you notice over here, it says Lamor twice. Right? It says, L'maniokim Hashem es tvorei esher dibra olai Lamor. Right, and then it says in the at the end of the pasuk, "Leimor leikar sachayish malkisei Yisrael." Right, why is the pasuk referring the word leimor twice? So the pshat is that in general, anytime Hashem makes a promise, even if there's a tnai, even if there's a condition linked to that promise, then even if that condition does not fulfill, then Hashem will keep his word, because once he says his word, then it can't, it has to make an impression, it has to take effect, right? But over here, it's not going to be like that. Why? Because over here, Hashem first put the condition in place, first he mentioned the Sinai, and only then he made the promise. So in this case, if you don't fulfill the word of Hashem, if you don't go by his path, then Hashem will not keep his word, because over here the Tanai came first. So you have to make sure to in fact follow the words of Hashem. Let's see weiter. Pasuk Hey, Begamato Yadato Esasher Asal Yoav Ben Tzruya. You know exactly what Yoav Ben Tzruya did to me. Now what exactly did Yoav do to David HaMelech?
Switch sides.
When?
He killed Avshalom.
Right.
And then so David was angry. He told him to, you know, don't kill him. And he killed him.
Mm-hmm.
Killed Avshalom. And then he switched sides with the next guy.
Right, the Danio. But it sounds like over here that it's a bit more personal, right? what you did to me. I mean, it sounds like it's a personal matter.
Very
so Chazal say that what it's actually referring to, what David HaMelech is referring to over here, is we remember that when the whole story with Bathsheba, when David called Uriah home, he told him to go home and be intimate with his wife because he wanted to cover up the fact that she got pregnant. It would be very suspicious if she got pregnant with her husband at war. So he tells Uriah to go home. Uriah refuses, thereby becoming a rebel and Meired b'malchus. And now David HaMelech was allowed to kill him. Right? However, he had a problem. He couldn't kill him publicly. Oh, you're a rebel against the king. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to hang you.
Sent the letter.
Right? Because if he goes ahead and he kills Uriah, then everyone finds out that his wife got pregnant from David, it's not going to look so good. Right? You can imagine the headlines in the Huffington Post and the New York Times.
Back.
Now, so what did David do? He sent Uriah back to war.
Yeah.
Right? Uriah did not want to go home because he said, I don't want to go back home. My brothers are out at war. They're in danger. I want to be with them. So what does he do? He sends Uriah back to war. And he sends a letter with Uriah.
And he showed
right?
it. You know.
Tell, gives him an igeres, a message to Yoav, the general. And in this igeres, in this letter that he sends with Uriah, it says that Yoav should place Uriah in the front lines, making sure that he will in fact die. Right, because he's trying to kill Uriah, but he's trying to cover it up and look like it wasn't David HaMelech who killed him. So over here, what David HaMelech is referring to is the fact that Yoav took that igeres, he took that that letter that Uriah himself brought. It's ironic. Uriah delivered the letter that had the verdict of his death. So Yoav took that letter and he publicized it. He went to the New York Times the next morning and said, oh, look, the letter that David HaMelech sent to me. Right? He thought he's going to be able to cover it up. And in fact, not only did he not cover it up, but Yoav publicized it. And that's what David HaMelech is referring to right over here. He's saying, remember what Yoav did to me personally. Now we're going to be talking later on if David HaMelech was really trying to take revenge. Like, what is this? David HaMelech is a jealous, you know, a vengeful kind of guy. I have to take revenge of people who wronged me. Before I die, I'm going to make sure that they're going to pay. Well, David HaMelech is not that petty, obviously. So we're going to see later on what that means. One more point. The word over here, Vigam, in Pasuk Hey, is not referring to, is not continuing what he said before. Rather, it's a continuation to the next Pasuk. The next Pasuk is, V'asisa k'chachmasecha. You should do according to your wisdom. Meaning, on one hand, he's telling him, you have to follow the rules of Hashem. Right? Don't deviate from Torah's Moshe. Right? However, and this is the big however, there are matters where you have to go ahead and not follow necessarily the word of the Torah. You have to follow your own wisdom. And even if it goes against the Torah, you should still do like whatever you see fit. Right? Like we find many times that a king is allowed to kill without any asra, without any aiding, without any warning, without sufficient witnesses, right? Which typically, in order to carry out the death penalty, you need to have a proper basin. You need to have aiding. You need to have asra, right? Sufficient warning and proper good witnesses. But in order to protect his kingdom, a king is allowed to many times even kill many. Even kill many people in order to protect his kingdom, even without the necessary precautions.
This is another thing that bothers me.
Why would a king be allowed to do this?
No, it's not this. Because the king has to follow the mitzvahs, like any other Jew.
Right.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Before he got mad at him, at the Jewish people, why they requested a king. Why? Because they wanted a king like other kings. Other kings had this power.
Right.
That's not what Hashem wants this king to do. But this king has to follow Hashem. I mean, the way you're putting it now, that the king is higher than the Sanhedrin when it comes. God didn't want that kind of a king. That's why he's mad at them. He wanted a king that's going to follow what he's supposed to do. And what do you, that's what bothers me. Other kings do what they want, fine, big deal. That's they're sole judge. But over here, can he go against the Sanhedrin?
Okay, so you're making a very good point. Obviously, right, it doesn't mean the king is just, you know, allowed to react by impulse. Oh, he insulted me? That's it, off with his head, right? That's it, done. Right, meaning he's telling him, the asisa kechachmasecha, you should act according to your wisdom. Don't be impulsive, right? Other kings, whatever they feel like doing, they do, right? They're a dictator. This is what I want, that's what's going to happen, no matter what. It makes sense, it doesn't make sense, right? There's any line of reasoning to the decision, most times, no. Right? But that's what a king wants, and that's what takes place. What he's telling him, that many times, you don't have the ability, you don't have the privilege of following the rules of the Torah. Many times, in order to protect your kingdom, in order to protect your rulership, you have to go ahead and punish someone, even though there is no Edim and Asra, right? Like, for example, over here with Yoav, right? Yoav was a direct threat to the kingship of Shlomo. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? There is no Edim and Asra in the case of Yoav, right? There was no sufficient warning. There are no witnesses, right? There's nothing. So does that mean that Shlomo has to just leave Yoav? Yoav was a very powerful man. He was a general for many years, right? The only reason David HaMelech kept Yoav in power was because there was no other way. There wasn't anybody who was worthy enough to be the general until later on when he had Benayahu ben Yoyada, right? So what he's telling him now is not to just, you know, do whatever you feel like, right? You have to act according to your wisdom. He trusts Shlomo.
You'd have a revolution, you know.
He's trusting Shlomo that he's going to handle the situation wisely.
Okay. Now, give me an example.
Of what?
Of handling it wisely, even though you don't find it in the Torah.
Okay, so we're gonna see. We're gonna see in a few psukim what Shlomo did to Yoav.
How far does that go? When do you know? Do you ask the Sanhedrin? Do you have advice from somebody else to help you out? Is that what he means? But how can you do it on your own? Have that wisdom when. You know what I mean? I mean,
yeah, you're right.
It seems all these things that he did and they did and they left Hashem out of it. They did what everybody else did, what other countries did, had wars, they did this, like that. And it seems where's the Sanhedrin, where do you ask, when you're supposed to do or not to do? It seems to me that the Jewish kingdom becomes like another kingdom, which Hashem didn't want in the first place.
Mm.
you want a king like everybody else? No, that's not for you. The king has to be different here.
You're right. Well, I'm saying the other kings, they don't have the Torah at all, right?
Right.
They have nothing. So the general rule is that Shlomo HaMelech will for sure follow the rules of the Torah. That's not a question, right? And that's the first thing he tells him. First thing you tell him is follow the rules of the Torah. You follow the rules of the Torah, you'll be safe, and Hashem will be with you.
I understand, right? This whole thing. Now,
but there are exceptions. You have to understand, there are exceptions.
Where is the exception? How do you know?
Okay, that's a very good question.
That's the thing. How do you know? Do you ask Sanhedrin? Are you... How should you know what to do to when you're allowed to overturn or not follow it?
Maybe ask the Urim and Thummim.
Because that is actually
Nadim at that time.
Nadim. Right. Right, that's true.
Actually, that is one of the mitzvahs of the Torah, because what's his name when he when they overturn something and it's in the Torah at the time. Who did that? What are the
Yeshua did it. There are a few people. When it's the time to do for Hashem, you are allowed to go against the Torah. Right. There are situations like that.
Right.
The problem is, when are bad decisions made? Why are they made? Why are they made in general, right? Generally speaking, bad decisions are made due to negilis, personal intentions, personal interests, right? Some ulterior motive, right? That's not pure, right? That's in general, typically, when a bad decision is made. Now, how do you avoid that? It's very hard to avoid one's ulterior motives, right? Because it's a part of me, right? So it's part of my Yetzirah who's telling me that this is the right thing to do, right? See people that are, doing mamash, doing chil Hashem, doing horrible averis, all in the name of Torah, right? They're ripping up families in the name of Torah and mitzvahs. So, and furthermore, with what we discussed before, is that David HaMelech is, so to speak, telling Shlomo to take revenge, right? David HaMelech, as we mentioned, he's not petty, right? He's not there. I want to make sure that they're going to pay for what they did to me, right?
Just beware of what's gonna be. And, be on guard.
Right. So in order to answer that, I think we have to bring down a Gemara. There's a very interesting Gemara that says, "Kol Talmid Chacham, any Torah scholar, she'eino nekev v'neiter k'nachash, eino Talmid Chacham. Any Talmid Chacham, Torah scholar, who does not take revenge like a snake, is not a Talmid Chacham." Meaning what? You're supposed to take revenge like a snake. What does that mean? Why a snake? And why are you supposed to take revenge at all, right? I spoke I was talking to a group of my people, of my Talmidim, and we were discussing, the whole point of revenge, of punishment, reward and punishment. And one of them said, "Listen, why punish someone? Okay, so they did the wrong thing, but now they have to suffer. Who's going to gain from them suffering? Right? Is anybody going to gain? Okay, so they did the wrong thing, right?" Maybe even after death, why would they have to be punished? Why would they have to be punished? So, seeing the people in the world who suffered under their hand, they're not going to gain from this person being punished in the next world, right? So, what's the point? What's the point of punishment, of reward and punishment, of revenge, right? Why make him suffer if it's not going to help the person who was hurt?
We did it, so
right. So the idea is like this, that many times, revenge has to be taken for a few reasons. First of all, for the benefit of the person who did wrong himself. In order for that person to be zeichet to go to Olam Haba, he has to atone for his sins.
Yes, he has to expiate his sin.
Yeah, he has to expiate his sin. That's a good word. Thank you. Expiate.
That's the whole idea of Gehenna.
Right.
You right. If there's something there, go like this. There's something. You got a sore in your foot. If you don't take care of it, it'll kill you.
Right.
Now, if you got a sore on your soul, where's the soul going to go?
Exactly.
He's lost.
Exactly.
So you have to. There has to be that.
Yeah.
That I understand.
Yeah. He has to pay for. Now, it's better to pay for your sin, to expiate your sin in this world, right?
Right.
It's much better to deal with it in this world. That way you don't have to deal with it.
It's really not paying for a sin. You're taking a medicine for something that's
right.
killing you. And
right.
and this kid is going to take away
right.
the sore, so then you're okay. You take it away. Your soul is supposed to be whole when it came down to you.
Right.
And it goes back if it's whole. He goes back to home. If he isn't, he wanders around. What are you going to do?
Right.
It has to be that way.
Exactly. So that could be one reason why this person has to pay for his sin, right? In order to pay for it in this world, that way he doesn't have to deal with it in the next world. He does not have to suffer in Gehenna, which would be way worse. Another reason might be that it says Talmud Chacham Shemachal Al Kavaydai Kavaydai Machal. The Gemara says that a Torah scholar who dismisses his kavod, that you know, if someone hurt him, insulted him, he doesn't care about it, then it's fine, right? But Melech Shemachal Al Kavaydai Ain Kavaydai Machal. A king who's Meichel is kavod, over there we say no. A king does not have the ability to Meichel is kavod. So you have to sometimes take a stance, make a statement that you know you can't let the honor of the king just be dismissed like that. So there are situations where a punishment or some sort of consequence has to take place. However, we have to make sure that there are no personal intentions, no ulterior motives involved, no negis. So how do you do that? Right, you have to be noikim v'noiter kenachash. You have to take revenge like a snake. What does that mean? Just like a snake, when a snake eats its food, he doesn't taste anything. He does not have any personal gain. He just eats his food in order to stay alive, right? In order to keep on going. So too, when a person takes revenge, he has to make sure that he does not enjoy the revenge. He doesn't have any personal gain. He's not like, I feel so good now. I see him suffering. This is great, right? Yeah. That's why David HaMelech, in order to avoid this, David HaMelech makes sure that he does not take revenge himself. He doesn't deal with the matter himself because he knew he's only human, right? Naturally, a human will have some level of enjoyment seeing the other person who wronged him so suffer. So what does he do? He gives the matter over to his son. You know that Shlomo HaMelech, we'll see later also, when he's telling him to deal with Shimi ben Gera, right, who cursed out David HaMelech at his lowest point when he was running away from Avshalom. Now Shimi ben Gera was the Rebbe of Shlomo HaMelech. So he knew clearly that Shlomo HaMelech would not get any enjoyment, any personal gain from punishing Shimi ben Gera. Obviously not. That's why he makes sure to hand over the matter to Shlomo HaMelech, assuring the fact that on one hand, the matter will be handled, right, in a wise way, because it's in order to punish these people and not having them suffer in the next world, and also in order to make sure that the king's covet is not being dismissed. And on the other hand, he's making sure that it's not done with any personal negif. No personal intention, no personal gain is taking place over here. That's why David HaMelech positioned this in this way particularly. Okay?
Sorry with me.
So let's see weiter. So he's telling him, first of all, you have to take care of Yoav. Yoav, what he did personally to David HaMelech. And what he also did to Avner ben Ner, Asher also l'shnei sari tzivos Yisrael, Avner ben Ner, la'amasa ben Yeter, v'yargim, v'yosef ben melchama b'sholim. Right, we remember that he killed these two generals. Avner ben Ner was the general of Shloimei HaMelech. And Yoav went ahead and killed him after the war finished. Right? As if the war is still going on. And Amasa ben Yesser, the same thing. Amasa ben Yesser had no idea that Yoav was going to kill him because the war was already over. He tricked him. Yeah, he tricked him. Right? He asked him a shaila in halacha. He asked him, how does
a woman?
Very good.
How do they do? It just slipped my mind, but. How does she take off the shoe
right.
if she doesn't have any hands?
Exactly, very good.
He's going to do it with his teeth and...
Yes, right. Right, so he asked him how...
He bent down and he showed me how.
Right, exactly. How does an almana gidemes, a widow woman who does not have any...
chalitza.
Does not have any hands, how does she do chalitza? And as Amasa ben Yeter was demonstrating how she can untie a shoe with her teeth, he went ahead and he took the sword and stabbed him in the stomach, and that's how he killed him. And now this, in particular, ruins the relationship of a king with other people, because a king has to, his word is a word, he has to go according to what he promised. And if he's going ahead, and after the war is already over, he's killing the generals, that's a very, very bad sign that the king does not keep his word. It's a blemish on his whole international relationships. And Yoav single-handedly ruined the relationships that David had. Right? He didn't kill them face-to-face. Rather, he did it in a very tricky way. Yeah. So what is he telling him now in Pasuk Vav? V'achsisa kechachm secha, v'lo toyred sevasa yibashalim sha'ol. You have to handle these situations wisely. In a way that... Now he's not telling them, I want you to make sure they're going to die. Rather, I want you to make sure that they don't just go on with their life peacefully. Meaning, I want you to make sure, according to your wisdom, I want you to make sure that they are, in fact, punished. We'll see how Shlomo deals with that. Livnei Barzilai Agiladi, Ashtas Echesed, V'hoi V'oichli Shulchanecha, the children of Barzilai Agiladi, I want you to make sure, and I want you to have them eating on your table. Why? Because Barzilai Agiladi approached David HaMelech as he was running away from Avshalom. He brought him food and water at the time of need. And that's why, Mida Keneged Mida, measure for measure, he's now saying, okay, now they gave me food in my time of need, therefore, I want you to make sure that they will be joining your table. You can't go carve a lie, b'barachi b'nei Avshalom achicha. They came over to me when I was running away from Avshalom. They did not expect any repayment, right? Because they had no idea that I was going to become king again. They thought that's it was over, right? Avshalom is now taking over. David HaMelech is on the run.
He helped me out of the goodness of his heart.
Yeah. Yeah, so I want you to do the same.
We reciprocate.
Treat him right. With respect.
Yeah. Yeah, and make sure you feed them well. V'hinei imcha Shimei ben Gera. Here we go. Shimei ben Gera, the one who cursed David HaMelech. Ben Ayminim b'churim. V'hu kilulani klolani mretzes. He cursed me when I was running away to Machanaim. Right? And then he came down to me later when I was about to cross the Yarden, and then I made a shvua to him that I will not kill him. Why is he adding this? Why is he telling him the whole story? Right? What happened first? He cursed me, And then I was about to cross the Yarden, the Jordan, and then I promised him that I won't kill him, right? So he's adding that, he's adding this, the last part, to the detriment of Shimi ben Gera. Meaning what?
1 second.
Right? Why is this to the detriment? Because he's now pointing out how Shimi ben Gera came when he realized that David HaMelech was going to become king again. So immediately he comes down to the Yarden before David HaMelech crosses the Yarden back into Eretz Yisrael. He approaches him. He comes to the other side of the Yarden before he even came into Eretz Yisrael, and he's saying, "Oh, I'm the first one from Shevet Yosef who came to approach you, who came to accept you, right?
Welcome you,
right? To welcome you, exactly." So he's kind of forcing David HaMelech into the situation where
he couldn't do what he was supposed to do,
right? Where he couldn't punish him. So that was another additional detriment of Shimi ben Gera. Kind of forced me into the situation where I made a shavua to him that I wouldn't kill him. So I want you to make sure that, I made a shavua that I'm not going to kill him, but I didn't say anything about you, right? So I want you to be the one to handle the situation wisely and don't let him get off the hook. Don't let him walk off scot-free. Ki ish chacham ata. Right? You are a smart man. So now he's telling him, ve'ata, now, meaning if he does something against you, does something wrong to you, don't let him walk off scot-free. Why? Because you are a smart man. You will know exactly what to do with him, meaning you will know how to try him out, to challenge him, to see if he's really loyal to you, right? And if he's going to listen to everything you say. And if you, in fact, find that there's, you know, something wrong with him, right? Then, if you find that really he's not so loyal to you, and that there's something wrong over here, then you have to make sure that he will pay, right? And don't let him walk off scot-free like I was forced to do. Those are the last final words of David HaMelech. Ve'ishkav David im avaisav. He's now passing away. Ve'kover ir David.
This is, he said, you are smart about Shalom?
Sorry?
You are smart man.
Yes.
Is his boy smart? How he knows?
How does he know that Shlomo is smart?
But he's only kids.
He's only 12 years old, right.
It means Shlomo before show something to be smart? Or is it?
Yeah, well, Shlomo was with David HaMelech for many years, meaning he was handling the affairs of David HaMelech for a long time now. So even though he was very young, but David HaMelech saw, as the years passed by and he was helping his father, he realized how smart Shlomo HaMelech is. So it's not like he has no idea who he is, you know, he's like some random kid, you know, amongst all his, I don't know how many kids he had a lot of kids, right? And he picked him out and said, oh yeah, you're smart, come over, I want you to be king now, right? There was a lot of experience that David HaMelech had, personal interaction with Shlomo.
Some people graduate when they're younger.
Yeah.
Because they have the ability and they use it.
Yeah.
He had the ability. He could see it.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
The age don't mean nothing.
Right.
Really.
Yeah. Exactly.
A lot of people who are 50 years old have no brains at all.
Yeah.
Still.
They act like a 2-year-old. Right.
What did they learn out of this world? Go on.
He said he's a smart man. He must have just got bar mitzvah, maybe.
It was before his bar mitzvah.
Well, just at that time, I don't.
All right, okay, we're going to stop